Hello and welcome to one in a series of podcasts which are on behalf of Lancashire authors and about Lancashire and writers and Lancashire history, sometimes straying out of the county for writers in other places. Today I'm sitting with Lily Driver, who is actually president of the Lancashire Authors Association, and I'd like to welcome her today.
Thank you, Peter. That's very nice of you to invite me to be on this podcast.
Now, could you tell me a little bit about yourself as you were growing up, where you actually were born, and are you a Lancashire lass through and through?
Well, I am a Lancashire lass. I was born just about a quarter mile from where I live now, in Road End, Haslingden, in North Street, and I've only moved about in the same area from being a child to getting married.
And when you got married, did you get married in Haslingden?
Yes, at St. Peter's Church, where I used to attend at that time. My husband Frank came from Rawtenstall, so he was a Lancashire lad. So a Lancashire lad married a Lancashire lass.
And how did you first meet Frank?
I met him at the Astoria dancing, and how we got together I do not know, because when he asked me out for the first time, I turned him down because I said I was going out with my dad. Now, how is that for an excuse? But it was perfectly true, because my mum and dad were good dancers, and it was Christmas time, and they had tickets for a big ball, and my mum had flu, unfortunately. So my dad was taking me out, and I was going with my dad. And the funny part of this is, a lady who knew my mum and knew me, but didn't know my dad, said to my mother when she met her, "Do you know your Lily is going out with a man who's old enough to be her father?" My mum said, "Is she really? Tell me about it." So this lady said, "Well, they came into this dance together. They sat together, they didn't dance with anyone else, and they left together." My mother said, "Well, do you know, it was her father."
these stories are priceless, aren't they? There's something you couldn't make up, really. You married Frank, and what year was that? 1950s?
Oh, Peter, don't ask me a question. Was it in the 50s? I can tell you that it was the 9th of June, but I am hopeless with dates. But when he died, we had been married, I don't know whether it was 51 or 52 years.
Oh, right. So you made your golden wedding then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of... And of course, I had the pleasure of meeting Frank, and he was a great guy. I can vouch for that. And did you have any children?
Yes. We have one son, Mark Craig Driver, who I'm very, very proud of. But unfortunately for me, he now lives in Australia, and I miss him very, very much. But he rings me up every week without fail, not always on the same day, and he always tells me he loves me, so what more could I want?
That's right, yeah. And what were you like at school? Were you a really bright student?
Oh, questions like that. Funnily enough, I was the bottom in spelling, and the bottom in dressmaking. But since then, I've educated myself, and I used to design and make all my own dresses, and I've improved quite a lot on my spelling. But I was always the top in composition and anything to grammar, anything to do with writing. I was good at history, geography. I couldn't remember the dates, 1066 and all that. I know that is a regular one that everyone knows. Geography, science, I was near the top. I'm not very good at maths. That was another of my subjects that I didn't excel in.
Right, and so really from an early age you knew you were going to be a writer then, or at least you had a penchant for it.
Oh, when I was a little girl, I used to tell my dolls and my teddy bears stories. I used to make them up, and I used to talk to myself as well coming home from school. and tell myself stories that I've made up. So I've always had a vivid imagination, and when I started writing properly, it was because I used to tell Craig stories that I've made up, and then when he went to school, I went on welfare looking after children at playtimes. If it was a bad playtime, I had 50-odd children in a classroom. So how do you keep 50-odd children quiet? So I used to tell them the stories that I made up for Craig. Well, children, they like things to be always the same. So if you say someone was wearing a red jacket and you tell them a story, and you tell them the same story next time, and they're wearing a blue jacket. Miss, you didn't say that last time. So I thought, right, I'd better start writing these stories down. So that's how I started my writing career.
That's fascinating, that, yeah. So I think we'll talk a bit more about the groups that you joined and everything, but first of all, I think we could have the first piece of music that you've chosen. And it's Dean Martin, Memories Are Made of This.
Yes.
And you can tell me a little bit more about why you chose that after the break.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave of me.
Add sweet, sweet one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy, memories
sweet, sweet,
are
you gave
made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Don't
sweet, sweet,
forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Fold
sweet, sweet,
in lightly with a dream.
You can't beat the memories you gave.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell. Three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days, see how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor. With
sweet, sweet,
his blessings
you gave
from above,
you can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Serve
sweet, sweet,
it generously with love.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One man, one wife, one love, through life, memories are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Memories are made of this.
Right. Okay, that was Dean Martin, Memories Are Made of This. Can you tell me a little bit more about why you chose that piece, Lily?
Well, I chose that because it was popular at the time when Frank and I were going to the Astoria dancing, and we both liked it. We both liked Dean Martin. It was a nice song to dance to. And when we got married, we had some friends, and this particular man, he was noted for his singing. He was in a pop group, and he sang this at our wedding and at the reception afterwards. So that was really nice. So that's the reason why I chose that particular song.
That's lovely. Thank you for that. Right, we'll go a little bit more back to writing now, and I think we're going to talk about writers' groups that you joined. What was your first writers' group, and what were your experiences?
Right. Well, as I've told you before, I used to write these stories down, and I met someone who went to Burnley Writers. Now, at that time, Burnley Writers were very, very prestigious because I think an editor for one of the national magazines was a member. So someone said, come along. Oh, I thought, I can't go there. Anyway, I went along and I sat at the back and I didn't say anything, but they were very, very friendly. they made me welcome and they said, have you got any stories? So I had taken one along and they were very impressed. And there was a competition coming up. So a lady said to me, you enter an article. So I entered an article called Full Circle. And it was about my son who had started with cacti and as a little boy. And eventually he ended up being an adjudicator for the local cacti society. So I wrote this, but I didn't know the rules of setting it down or anything like that. So I gave this article to this lady. She said, right, I am going to set it out correctly for you, but I'm not altering anything at all. So she set it out for me. She said, now enter it for the competition. And it won one of the best cups. Oh. And I was absolutely gobsmacked.
Wow, first attempt.
She said,
eh?
Right, now send it up to the Lady magazine. And I thought, my article in the Lady magazine. But I did. Well, I didn't like my name at the time, Lily Driver. So I invented a name for myself and I sent it under the name of Samantha Craig. And I thought, that sounds great. And it was published in the Lady magazine.
Oh, wonderful.
And so, oh, I was elated about this. But later on, when I started getting rejections for some things, I thought, I'll revert back to my other name, Lily Driver. And since then, I've won a lot of competitions and I've had a lot published.
That's great. And then from Burn the Writers, did you join other groups?
Well, what happened then was, it was Burn the Writers at that time met on a Saturday afternoon, and it wasn't always convenient to go there. And so I thought, well, I wonder if there are anyone in Rossendale who would like to join a writer's group. So I put a letter in the local press asking for people who may be interested in joining a writer's group. They published it. I went to the library. I booked a room and I waited and 30-odd people turned up.
Wow.
And from those 30-odd people, I set out my ideas for a writer's group. And of those 30-odd people, we had 20 committed members.
That's excellent, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm. And this was, what, about 1986, wasn't it? I think you told me before.
It was something like that because when was it when we celebrated our 25th anniversary? It's a year or two back now, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And so it would be round about that time, Peter.
Yeah. I think it was 2011, the 25th. Yes. So yes, that's right.
And we became very famous, actually. We published 4 anthologies. And from those 4 anthologies, we gave over £4,000 to various charities.
Wow.
And then when we disbanded, in the end, we had almost £1,000 in our bank account, which we gave to the local hospice.
Oh, so that's wonderful, isn't it? Mm. I mean, and the fact that so many people must have bought the book to make that happen.
Oh, they went to Australia, they went to New Zealand, they went to the Lake District, all over. A few of us used to do craft fairs, and a few of us who used to give talks took the books with us, and that's how they sold. And various local shops sold them as well.
And we're talking about craft fairs here. You also have other strings to your bow, don't you? You're not just a writer, but you're an artist as well, aren't you?
Oh, an artist and photographer.
Oh, there you go. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, there again, in my childhood, I've always been drawing and painting. My father encouraged me to do that. I remember one Christmas, Father Christmas brought me a proper paint box,
wow.
You know, not a child's one, a proper paint box. Oh, how good was that? And, that was another thing at school I'd forgotten. I was always a top in art.
Oh, right.
And, yes, I've always loved painting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I started painting from a child.
Yeah, so the photography probably comes in where you're photographing subjects for your painting as well,
well
to an extent
there again,
anyway.
I had a wonderful childhood. And I have one photograph. My mum and dad took me for a walk, and my dad was a good photographer, but in those days it was only the box Brownie camera. But I have some lovely photographs from that time. Mm-hmm. And one Saturday I said to my dad, I said, "Can I take a photograph, please?" And he let me take a photograph, and I have that photograph, and it was good. I have an eye for a picture. So that, again, from childhood, has been an influence in my life, photography.
Yeah, I'm a keen photographer, but I can't draw for toffee, you know, I can't actually. And I think that is an art in itself. And as you say, and having an eye for a picture,
yes,
helps a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
Helps a great deal.
It does.
Yeah. Right. Well, have a little bit more music now. And when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about your writing groups, and we'll bring in Lancashire authors. And also, I believe you've got some stuff you'd like to read for us. So we'll just go on with the next song. And this one is Edelweiss from The Sound of Music. Now, why would you pick that? No, we'll ask you afterwards, because I think you've got a really good answer to that. And we'll listen to the music first.
Okay.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning you greet me, small and white, clean and bright, you look happy to meet me. Blossom of snow, may you bloom and grow, bloom and grow forever. Edelweiss, Edelweiss, bless my homeland forever.
Small and white, clean and bright, you look happy to be.
Okay, that was Edelweiss from The Sound of Music. Now, you did say that you had a special reason for picking this piece. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yes, I have a special reason. Again, going back to my son, he had an adult reading age of 7, and he picked things up very quickly. So he was only about 18 months old, and you could have a conversation with him. And he listened to Edelweiss on the records that we had at that time, and he began to sing it. But of course it was Edelweiss, Edelweiss, and he couldn't pronounce it properly. So that reminds me of Craig, because he is a blossom of snow, because It was born on the 31st of December.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, thank you. Right, now, I believe you brought some poems along to read for us, and you're going to read a couple now, and you're going to just talk a little bit about them.
Yes. Well, again, going back to Craig, I wrote this. It's called December Babe. December Babe, cradled in my arms and suckling at my breast, my love will keep you warm and safe from winter's chill, and guide you into spring's child and summer's youth. When autumn claims you as a man, I will love you from afar, proud of what you have become, but wishing I could hold you once again as my December babe.
Oh, that's lovely.
Thank you.
And what's the next one you're going to read for us?
Well, the next one is Storm Clouds. And as we've been talking about Burnley writers, again, I was encouraged to send a poem in. And this was the first poem I ever wrote, because at that time I used to climb the fells in the Lake District. Just storm clouds came into my head. The adjudicator of the competition said that I would have won the first prize, but I had misspelt one word, and as you will hear on the last two sentences, there are two words that are only half rhymes. So instead of winning the first prize, it won the second prize.
Okay.
So this is Storm Clouds. Love is a mountain that starts as a plain and graduates upwards to end in a peak. Or could we stay there, the world far below, but rocky and dangerous the paths where we go? Green velvet mountain, sunlit and warm, the summit to rest on after the climb, harnessed together, secure in our love, oblivious to storm clouds that gather above. Mist-coloured mountains, silent and damp, hidden the secret ravine where we kiss. Wet are my eyes from the teardrops that fall, to blot out your memory for once and for all. Snow-covered mountain, bitter and bleak, reflecting the feelings I have in my heart. Ice wind sweeping, the peak standing tall, making a slippery slope for a fall. Cruel, unyielding mountain, I stand at your foot and look upwards and curse you for bringing me down. I traversed your pathways, I drank at your burn, but the path, like love, crumbled, destroyed in the storm.
Oh, wow, that's very powerful, isn't it?
It is. They said it was a very... Where it came from, I do not know. But they said it was a very powerful poem.
Well, I think we're going to hear some more of your poems later on, but I'd like now to move on to Lancashire Authors and when you first joined and your position there, and tell me whatever you want to tell me.
Right. Well, I'd heard about Lancashire Authors. At that time, they were a very prestigious group. They're not now, but we had 300 and odd members, and there was quite a few famous Lancashire authors there. And Frank and I met a man called. He wrote under the name of Billy Bowes, and I can't now remember his proper name.
It's called Clifford Hayworth.
Clifford Hayworth. That's right, Peter. Yeah, very good. Full marks for that, 10 out
oh,
of 10.
You.
Yes, and he liked my work, and he said, why don't you join? And at that time, you had to be invited to join. You just couldn't turn up.
Right.
You had to be invited, and people accepted you. And we became very friendly, Frank and I, with Clifford Hayworth. And that's how I joined the Lancashire Authors. Again, don't ask me what year it was because I can't remember.
No.
But we were members for quite a long time. And eventually, I did become deputy chairman for the Lancashire Authors.
All right, yeah.
And again, I've won a lot of their cups.
And then you left for a while, didn't you? But as I say, recently you came back and you're now our president.
Well, we left for a while because Frank, he wasn't a writer. And he wasn't all that into it. He came along for me, but he was a walker, and it sometimes interfered with what he wanted to do. So that's why.
Well, it's like anything else, isn't it, in marriage?
Exactly.
It's give and take. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's fair enough. And we're very pleased to have you back, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And what would you say was your proudest moment in writing?
The proudest moment in writing? Oh. I've never thought about that. I think winning one of the top cups in the Lancashire Authors, because, as I say, at that time, there was quite a lot of members and quite a lot of entries.
Right.
And that, and, of course, having the first article published in The Lady magazine.
That's wonderful, yeah. Yeah, and on the art front, what was your proudest moment?
Oh, my proudest moment in the art world. I think, again, the first picture I ever sold. I can remember there was an exhibition. I joined a local art group. You did your own thing. There wasn't any formal tuition. But at that time, the local museum and art gallery used to have exhibitions. And we had an exhibition. And this particular painting was being put up. And there was a man in the room. And he said, "Is that picture for sale?" And the person who was putting the pictures up said, "Yes." He said, "Well, don't put that up because I want it. I want to buy it." So the picture was actually sold before it was exhibited.
Well,
very proud of that.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you were kind enough to give me one of your original paintings, which I treasure and always will treasure because it is a really good painting and of a sunset. And it's a wonderful painting, and thank you for that.
Well, that particular painting was the first one I ever did in oils. I usually use watercolour, but I like that picture.
Hmm. Well, we're going to get a print made, aren't you, as well? Because I brought it back with me today, so you can do that.
And there's a bit of history about that picture.
Is there?
A man who befriended Frank when he went to is the last job he was at, trained Frank up to take over as the boss of the maintenance department. That was it.
So
he was called Mr. Rumble. He was a nice man because Frank didn't know anything about central heating at that time. He was an electrician by trade. And we befriended this man. He was very nice. And he admired this picture, so I gave it to him. And he died, unfortunately, quite a while afterwards, while we were away on holiday. And I thought, well, I'll never see this picture again. But one of his friends knew me, and he got the picture and gave it back to me. And that's how I had it and was able to give it to you, Peter, because you admired
it. So that's got some history behind it, that one.
Yes.
Wow, that's very interesting indeed. We'll talk a little bit more about other aspects of your writing in a moment, and you'll probably be reading me some more of your poems. But first of all, we're going to another piece of music. Now, this one is where we're going to the classical sphere, and it's a second movement of Chopin's first piano concerto.
Thank you.
Okay, that was the second movement of Chopin's first piano concerto. Can you tell me a little bit about why you chose that, Lily, please?
Yes, from being a little girl, I had to learn the piano, and I hated every minute of it, and I learned for 13 years. I wanted to be a dancer, and I went to dancing class, and my dancing teacher says, she can't do both, so the piano was chosen for me. But I've always liked music. I can't make music. I can't sing. And as I say, I didn't like playing the piano. But Chopin's music, the piano music, particularly that one, oh, when I hear that, it's so beautiful. It makes my hair stand on end.
Oh, that's lovely. You can't say more than that about a piece of music.
And Frank liked that as well. And in fact, I think we had that played at Frank's funeral.
Oh, right. Right, now back to your writing, and I believe that you've actually published a few books yourself, haven't you?
Yes. I had the first book I had published, an anthology. Two friends of ours, the man, he was a printer, and he'd never printed a book before. And he asked if he could use my work to produce an anthology. And I said yes. So I chose some of the writings. And that's how I came to have a book published. And I'm just trying to think what it was called. Was it Thoughtful Words?
I think it was Thoughtful Words, yes.
Thoughtful Words. Mm. And it was very good. That sold quite a few copies. And there again, I gave quite a lot of money to the charities from it.
Oh, that's lovely.
I was very proud of that. So then from there, this man, the Rossendale writers, by this time, had wanted to publish something of their own. So we said, well, we haven't enough money to get published. I went round to printers and it was £1,000, something like that. But at that time, the council said they would give us a grant of £250. So I went to a meeting and this man, this printer, said, right, you've got your money. He said, I will print the book. A friend of mine will do the plates. You have to spend your £250 on the plates. And that's how Rossendale Writers published their first anthology.
Oh, that's...
because of the generosity of this man.
That's a lovely story.
And then after that, a colleague and I, we produced another anthology, and that was called Words from the Heart, I think, and that was successful. And again, we gave most of the money to a charity.
Right. Well, you've got another couple of poems you'd like to read for us, Lily. So can you tell me a little bit about those and then read them? Thank you.
Yes. These two poems I entered for a competition. And it was very interesting, the critiques that I got, because one is called The Sound of Silence and the other is called Is This Earth's Destiny? And the adjudicator said that The Sound of Silence, it was an old lady who'd written this, remembering that she'd lost her son in the First World War. And Is This Earth's Destiny? This was written by an angry young man who was concerned about the state of the planet today. So that was interesting to me, because I can write from a man's point of view, a woman's point of view, a child's point of view. And so I thought it may be interesting to the listeners to see the difference between these poems.
Right.
So I'll read The Sound of Silence first. I listened to the sound of silence while rocking in my chair, and memories come flooding back from way out there. I hear the crying of a babe, so sweet the sound to me, because I gave you life, my son, and you brought happiness to me. I hear the laughter of a child, so vibrant is the sound, so full of wide-eyed wonder at the marvels all around. I hear the voice of youth speak up, for others not as strong, and I am filled with pride because you try to right the wrong. I hear a call to arms go out, and then a marching song. I know that you are fighting, son, because you need to right the wrong. I hear a cry of pain screamed out from battlefields out there. Now, I listen to the sound of silence while rocking in my chair.
Yeah, I can see where they thought that might be an old lady written that, and it's really well written, that.
Yes. Yeah. Now this is this the Earth's destiny? And I'm concerned about what is happening all over the world today, and what might happen. And it's, is this Earth's destiny? Devastated planet that was once so bright and blue, spinning on its axis, circling the sun, now, shrouded in a mushroom's cloak, goes dying into space unknown to join the man-made junk that was meant to shield our planet home. Now, man no longer fights with man, a battle deadly to the end. Demoralized, too weak to care, mankind can only stand and stare at bodies twisted, burned, at nature out of all control, with no escape from the Sheol. Too late to stop and count the cost, too late to realise what was lost. To cries of terror, screams of pain, the leaders called a truce, but not before a poisonous flame engulfed the planet Earth. Horrific to the end, the furnace raged, and then was gone, and warring ceased, but no one won. And I must tell you about a word in that I should have told you at the beginning, Sheol. It's a Jewish word, and it means coffin, hole, something that you can't escape from, something that's dead. It's hard to find an exact interpretation, but I thought I'd better explain that word.
Oh, thank you very much for that. And that was a very powerful piece. Very
again,
powerful
it's
indeed.
A powerful piece. Of, yeah. I write a lot about the ecology, mm-hmm. and about the futility of war.
And what sort of things are you writing now? Are you still writing these poems, or do you concentrate more on articles, or is it more your art that takes your time now?
Well, it's funny. I can either write or paint. I can't do both at the same time.
No.
It's really, and at the moment, I'm in an art phase. I don't write as much poems now as I do articles. I think articles are my main interest. But poems seem to come to me sometimes from awake in the middle of the night. I don't know where they come from. I just get an idea, jot them down, and then I work on them later on.
Well, I mean, I've known you since you started, not quite started, I think about 4 years into Rossendale Writers, I met you. That's where we sort of, and it was you that caused me to join Lancashire Authors in 1990.
It was, yes.
Yeah, and we've been friends ever since, haven't we?
Yes, you and Rita have been great friends.
And you like your Scrabble nights, don't you?
Oh, I love playing Scrabble, yes.
Right. So, shall we go on to another piece of music now?
Yes.
Now, the next one you've chosen is the Adagio from Mahler's Fifth Symphony.
That's right.
Could you tell me a little bit about that, or do you want to do it after we've played it?
Perhaps after you've played it.
Okay, thank you very much.
See if you have the same reaction to it that I do.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Right, that was quite a good piece of music. I must say I've never heard that one before. It's a Adagio from Mahler's Fifth Symphony. Now, can you tell me why you like that? And
yes, I have a very wide taste in music. I like country and western. I like traditional jazz. I like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, all the classical ballads. And I also like classical music. And I came across this. I hadn't heard it before. I don't like the full symphony, I must admit. But this particular one, the Adagio, it is so powerful and so moving. And I just had to listen to it over and over again. And that's why I chose this particular piece. I think it's beautiful and it's very moving.
Right. Well, I can see why you chose that. I can, because I agree with you. I've been listening to it. Now, we'll just go back to Lancashire Authors again and to present day. At the beginning of the interview, I said, you are now the president. And there's been a lot of changes since you joined, when there were 300 and odd members, as you told me. And I think we've got about 87 now, which is a little bit more than when I actually came onto the committee in 2013. I think it was around 70. But we have a dwindling membership because obviously a lot of the older ones are dying off, or they just can't get to meetings. And we're trying to attract younger members. We're trying to keep the association going. And I just wondered if you had anything you could say to people that might help them to decide to have a look at our meetings and join us.
Well, yes. I think that they're a very friendly lot of people. They make everyone welcome. The unfortunate part of it is that younger people don't seem to be joining things like this, unfortunately. But that's the way it is now. The Rossendale Writers, when we started with all these members, and then we disbanded because younger people weren't joining and older people had died off or moved away. And this is the case with the Lancashire Authors. We used to meet all over Lancashire, and it was the old Palatine. It included Manchester and Liverpool. And we met in all the different areas so that people had to travel or not travel, and we thought that was fair. But then we started to meet at Chorley because it was central to everyone. They could get there by rail, road, car. There was adequate parking at that time. But you have to think now that young people are not joining. A lot of the original members have either died, they've moved away. And we need to, I think, publicise ourselves more. Why don't the members bring friends along? You don't have to be a member to come to our meetings. And if you brought a friend along, perhaps they would like what they hear and what they see. And they will become a member also. I mean, we have had people who've done that, haven't we? I've brought someone along.
Me too, yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, I think, as you said, a lot of young people, today the world's a different place, isn't it? There's a lot of technology around, a lot of tablets and television and films and everything they can watch at the flick of a switch. And it's a shame, really, because they're not encouraged as much to go out and meet people like this.
That's right.
there are some, I mean, there's still some, don't get me wrong, there's some brilliant young writers, and I know but they're not being, I don't think it's what you would call fashionable now to go into a group of older people, you know, and
exactly.
I think that's the problem. And I think that's a lot to do with our society today and the stigma attached to everything that's been going on in the last few years, you know, it's really sad, a sad indictment, but, I do agree. We are trying as a committee, and you know that, to entice people to come, but we can only go so far, and then it's up to people to sort of, you know, we'd encourage them to have a look at the website. We try to keep the website updated so that they can see what's going on. And obviously, if they're not a member, they won't get the record, so the website's probably the only point of contact they'd have. Now, that being said,
But can I just interrupt you, Peter?
Of course.
What I would like members to do is to come to the annual general meeting, and then they can put their views forward, how they would like it to be run, if they would like to be on the committee, if they would like to help in any way. And that's the only way that we can do what the members want, by them turning up at the annual general meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, and the numbers for that have dwindled quite a lot lately, haven't they? Mm. So we need to reach the people somehow, don't
we? That's right.
Yeah. Right, well, on a lighter note, what does Lily Driver do to relax?
What does Lily Driver do to relax? Well, I paint, obviously. I like dancing. I go dancing 3 times a week. I like walking. Frank and I, we used to go to Lake District and walk the fells. I'm not saying I can walk the fells now, but there's a lot of river walks, and I really miss that, because you can't go off the beaten track on your own. But I do walk when I can. So that relaxes me, but I like listening to music. I like watching some stuff on television, not all of it. I like playing Scrabble. I like having friends to meals, and I like going out for meals. I like my gardening when I can. So that's about it for me.
So how about favourite authors? You got any favourite authors?
Oh, I have. I love Wordsworth. I love Wordsworth. And there's one piece particularly that I like to read out to, if I go giving talks, and just to intersperse other people's work with mine.
Right.
I also give travel talks with slides, and I also give talks called A Journey Through Life, which is from childhood to adulthood. That's with my poetry. And it seems to go down well.
Well, that sounds really good. I mean, I know there's, as I said before we started, there's a lot of strings to your bow, isn't there?
Mm.
And you've got very eclectic tastes, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I also have a book, A Laugh, A Tear, A Smile. And I give talks about a laugh, a tear, a smile. And I always say, I don't want to make you cry, but you might cry laughing. And it's the funny things that children say and adults say, and the funny things that you read in the paper. And they don't always get it right. For instance, in the local press once, there was an advert, black ladies jacket for sale. Now, was a lady selling a black jacket, or was a black lady selling a jacket?
Of course,
and
yes.
And it's surprised, even professionals get the words
wrong.
Oh,
yeah, way, yeah, there's some funny ones, isn't there?
And it's the funny ones like that in it. Like, we go to the doctors and we see someone we know. How are you? Are you all right? Yes, I'm all right, thank you. How are you? Well, why are you at the doctor's?
Yeah.
But we all do it.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
But it's laughable.
Because if
you
start telling them you're not all right, they don't want to know, really, do they? It's just being polite. Okay, well, that's been a delightful little talk we've had there, and I've really enjoyed interviewing you today. I mean, I might add that if I don't sound American, it's because the person who usually does these interviews is not very well today, and I'm standing in for him, so I hope anybody who listens isn't too disappointed with a Lancashire lad doing this instead of an American. But I would like to thank you, Lily, on behalf of Lancashire Authors, on behalf of myself, for your hospitality and for all that you've said here, and for allowing us into your home to interview you.
You're quite welcome, Peter, and I've enjoyed the interview, and it's a privilege to be asked to do it.
Right, well, before we finish, we've got another song, haven't we? And this one's Johnny Mathis, Evergreen. So you're going to have to tell me what you think about this one before we play it, because after we play it, we're off air. So
exactly, yes. Well, I like Johnny Mathis. I think he has a lovely voice. A lot of singers can be imitated, but Johnny Mathis is the only one that I think no one else can produce his voice.
He certainly has a unique voice,
hasn't
he?
And Evergreen, I think it's a lovely, lovely love story.
Okay, thank you.
And that's why I chose that.
So this is the next one then. It's Johnny Mathis, Evergreen, and thank you again, Louis Driver, President of the Lancashire Authors Association.
Thank you, Peter.
Soft as an easy chair, love fresh as the morning air, one love that is shared by two, I have found with you. Like a rose under the April snow, I was always certain love would grow. Love ageless and evergreen, seldom seen by two. You and I will make each night a first, every day a beginning. Spirits rise and their dances on rivers. And ever.